You're listening to Inside Out. Inside Out with Tim Gilligan is a podcast providing weekly biblical insight to encourage you on your walk with God. What you do day by day takes you to your future. And most of the time, the greatest fruit in your life is cultivated through the small spiritual disciplines you exercise on a consistent basis. This podcast is meant to help you live a life that is happy, stable, fruitful, and blessed. And now, let's get ready for Pastor Tim. Enjoy today's episode.
Hello. Thank you for joining me today for Inside Out. We are in a deep but vital subject of the worldview that you would hold. We're specifically talking about a biblical worldview. In the last episode, we talked about absolute moral truths, that they do in fact exist, and that the Bible defines these absolute moral truths. What are moral truths? That there is right and wrong, that there is good and evil, that there is dark and light, that actually does exist. And the Bible defines those and helps us to know how to navigate those things. And we saw that truth is always verifiable. It's not this wishy-washy, squishy kind of, there is no truth and everything is no absolutes and you no longer say everything, anything is right or wrong all the time. And that just is illogical and does not work and will not serve your life well. It will not. I touched on then that truth is verifiable through creation. And I would encourage you to go back and to listen to that. All of these episodes are only like 10, 11, 12 minutes long. And it would be worth the visit to go back. And if you did not hear it or you'd like to revisit it again, that truth is verifiable through creation. Today, I want to talk about that truth is verifiable through conscience, In Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, even Gentiles, and that refers to those that they did not have a covenant relationship with God. So even Gentiles, people that are living apart from God, who do not have God's written law, they don't even have a Bible, show that they know his law, God's law, when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they're doing right. Then in Proverbs 20:27, today's English version translation, the Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Every one of us has a conscience. Your conscience can become calloused. But here's the point. People know right and wrong. They know when to run. They know when to lie. And people wear out under the load of guilt, literally become sin sick. And then our culture tries to tell them that there's no sin, there's no wrong, there's no guilt. And so they live with this burden on their conscience and they live without any remedy for that because they've been told, well, there's nothing wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. There's no sin, there's no wrong, there's no guilt, there's no truth. But there is, and there's a weight that goes with that. You know, both of these scriptures just totally illustrate reality here. People don't even have God's word. They know God's word instinctively. It's written into our hearts without even having heard it. And they demonstrate God's law, that it is in fact written on their hearts because their conscience and their thoughts either accuse them or excuse them. Tell them you're doing wrong or tell them they're doing right. God gave us a mind and he gave us a conscience and we can't hide from that. And so, wow, no wonder people are anxious and depressed and worried and riding so low because they've been told there's no sin, there's no wrong, you shouldn't have guilt, any of those things. And then they live without the remedy for wrong and live without the remedy for our sin and our guilt. All of us have sinned. All of us are guilty, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, cleanses us from that. The remedy for sin and failure is Jesus. It's Jesus. And people have got to know that that's the only help, you know, for our conscience. Now, truth is also verifiable through consideration. Consideration. Truth is observable, it's rational, it makes sense, it's verifiable, and it can be tested. Here, does it work? The Bible is like a map, you know, and the map has proven true. And I just want to say this, He has always guided me right. God has always guided me right. Now me, I've gotten off course, so have you. But the map is still right. God is still right. And here's the great thing. If you get off course, He can help you to get back on course. Well, Proverbs 14:15 says, only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. And so just consider this regarding Christians. There's over 2.25 billion believers, Christians, in the world. It's the largest entity, the largest unified group in the whole planet. But if you study the biography of philosophers, you find it really just did not work. Dr. Paul Vitz wrote a book, Father of the Faith of the Fatherless, The Psychology of Atheism. Just listen to this. This was a study 100 most famous atheists over the past 4 centuries in history to see if there was anything in common. Listen to this. Despite its pretensions to cool-headed rationality, modern atheism originated in the irrational, often neurotic, psychological needs of a few powerfully influential thinkers. The psychological source of their militant atheism was the absence of a good father. They hated their fathers. They had either all been abandoned by, abused by, ridiculed by, rejected by, had weak fathers, never knew their fathers, or their father died at an early age. And if they hated their father, how could they ever pray, "Our Father who is in heaven"? They would say, if God is like my father, then no thank you. So as we consider the lives of and the biography of philosophers, we see it did not work and we see why. But the Bible is truth, and there's internal, external proof, historical proof, archaeological proof, scientific evidence, plus the hearts and lives of believers, the peace, the grace, the guidance, the help, the rescue, the forgiveness that God brings to us. Let me just go back to this, because truth is verifiable through consideration. The Bible is truth. Consider this historical, archaeological, scientific evidence of the Bible written over a 1,600-year time span, on 3 different continents by 40 different authors, written by kings, shepherds, fishermen, farmers, and tax collectors. Yet it speaks with consistency on the most controversial topics of the day. It tells one story from beginning to end, God's love and salvation for man, and how He came into the world through Jesus Christ. No human being could orchestrate or account for this incredible, powerful, supernatural book of truth. 98% textually pure, through centuries of copying manuscripts, there are no other ancient manuscripts of the entire world that even come close to this level of accuracy. The 2% in question does not affect doctrine, but merely spelling and wording. Plus, there are more than 24,000 early, whole, and partial manuscripts exist, which equals 100 times more ancient manuscripts than the next most commonly copied ancient written work, which are accepted as credible. Not one archaeological discovery has ever discredited the Bible. They only verify the accounts of the Bible. John 3:33 in the Message again, but anyone who examines this truth will come to stake his life on this, that God himself is the truth. Listen, everyone is betting their life on something. And I'm betting my life, my all, that Jesus is who he said he is. And daily, he confirms this. Now, I don't get it right daily, but he helps me daily. He's right every day. Listen, absolute moral truths do exist. And the Bible defines these absolute moral truths. God is true, and his word is truth. And having a biblical worldview gives you, my friend, confidence, peace, answers for life's problems, and it will give you hope for the future. Well, I hope you got something out of this, and I pray you have an awesome day. You have a great week. Please join me next time on Inside Out.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of Inside Out. If this content has been helpful to you, it would mean a lot if you'd leave a review or share this with others on social media. For more teachings and resources, you can visit Meadowbrook Church online at mbcocala.com. And if you have any questions for the podcast, you can send an email to podcast@mbcocala.org. That's all for today. We'll see you next time right here on Inside Out with Tim Gilligan.